Ireland's classic hits radio. I'm delighted to have one half of Bewitched on the line. Keevy and Adele, or Keevy and Adele. We're so used to saying Keevy and Adele. I don't know why. Keevy and Lindsay, how are you?
Well, come together.
Oh, you come as a pair.
How are you?
Good, good. You're not looking at me right now, but maybe if you were, you'd recognise me because many, many, many years ago in the 90s, I was a student in Keevy and Adele's dance class in Diggs Lane.
You were. Yes. I said that to Adele this morning. I said, Trina Mara. I was like, I know that name. And she was just like, yeah, she's from our past. And I was like, I knew that.
Yeah.
So yes.
She was probably like, she was the one who literally had two left feet. And we used to go home and think, there's nothing we can do with this one. She's never going to be able to dance.
Exactly what we were saying this morning. That's what we remember. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yes. Good job I can do radio instead. Never wanted to be a dancer. But yeah, how are you doing, girls?
Really good. Thank you.
Good.
Very excited about coming home.
Yes. So big gig happening. I'm going to this gig with my hubby. He said to me that he would probably divorce me if we didn't get a ticket for it. Because this is right down our... Do you know this music that we grew up with? It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, I know. I know. But the 90s were just such a wonderful era, really, for music and for lots of things. But yeah, I think everybody just remembers the 90s with such nostalgia and just fond memories.
You know, we get work experience people in all the time here in the radio station and they tell me they were born in, like, you know, 2010 and stuff. And, and I feel like about 100 when this happens.
Yeah.
And you're trying to explain to them about the 90s, how cool the 90s was, top of the pops, you know, all the all the fashion. Do you remember the baggy trousers, the combat trousers?
Yeah. And it was also a time before all the social media took off as well. So it was a very different time. And like our generation has the before and the after. Like we remember before and we know the after. So we have a kind of a point of comparison. Whereas the new generation now, they just, all they know really is, you know, kind of the technological era and social media and all of that. So I think that's partly why the 90s has such nostalgia about it, because it was a different time. It was simpler, you know.
Yeah. You'd go on your holidays and you'd be into 1 hour photo to get your photos developed. And a week later, you'd go and collect them because it was cheaper, I think, rather than getting them done in an hour. Mad, isn't it? To even explain that to a teenager is crazy.
No. I think it taught us a lot of patience. I don't think nowadays children and teenagers are patient, because everything is like, I'd like it now. And you can have it now. And even everything was tangible in the 90s. You could hold a CD, or I was going to say tape. It was a tape in the beginning.
Yeah.
But you could hold it. You could hold your magazine. You could hold your CD. And it was just different. You could sit and watch, gosh, umpteen pop TV shows and see your favourite bands on us doing an interview and doing a performance. And it's just not the same.
Aww.
It's not. And I think there was a different level of appreciation as well for things like that. Like even now when there's a drama that you like on the TV, people just binge watch it because it's there. They can. Whereas back then you had to wait a whole week to find out what happens next. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
But there was just a different level of that kind of delayed gratification and that sense of waiting and then really enjoying the moment. Whereas now everything's so fast paced and everything is just so kind of, I don't know, disposable, I suppose, in a way.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. It's instant and disposable.
I always remember, because obviously I've been so into music my whole life, how I ended up in this job. But, you know, Top of the Pops on a Thursday night, waiting to see who was going to be number one. There was nothing like it. And obviously you girls would have been on Top of the Pops. How was that experience for you? I mean, from, first of all, being viewers of a show like that to then be performing on it must have been an incredible moment in your life.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we were on it, it was very surreal. I think the first thing I noticed was it was tiny. Like on TV, it looked like this huge studio. I was like, oh, okay, this is actually quite small. But we were also on it. Was it the first one, Linz? We were, Celine Dion and the Bee Gees were on it.
Wow.
First time we did it.
So that was a real experience. And they were so gracious. All of them spoke to us. All of them said congratulations. And they were very genuine. And it was just such a moment for me.
It was weird because we recorded it on, it was pre-recorded like the day before. So we recorded it on the Thursday, for example, and then it went out on the Friday. And even watching it back on the Friday, we still, even though we knew we'd pre-recorded it the day before, we still couldn't believe that we were going to be coming up on it as number one.
Sure?
It was like, are you sure we're coming up? It's like, yeah, you just recorded it yesterday.
So life really changed kind of overnight. And I remember because I would have been doing the dance classes, and I'm just trying to think, I think if I, my memory serves me right,
like
I think
long
that,
before.
Yeah, I think that Diggs Lane may have closed down and you moved to around the corner. Am I right in saying that?
It closed down and it went to, what was that place
was
called?
Was it the YMCA
the
or something? Or something like that?
No, I think it was Factory. No. The Factory, I think it was called.
And the next thing, Bewitched blew up. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Because I think it was kind of secret. People didn't really know.
Yeah, we did our early stuff in Diggs Lane, on Diggs Lane. And then you're right, it wasn't too long later that suddenly C'est La Vie was released and it was this big thing. It's like, oh, right. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you, Trina? Because I don't suppose we've ever asked people what it was like on the other side, who saw us going through our dance classes and all, then putting this band together, rehearsing, and then suddenly we're on top of the Vault.
Oh, well, I think it was definitely a case of, we love saying to people, we know them. We know them. Yeah. That kind of way. Yeah, connection. Yeah. I was going around at the time, actually. I don't know if you remember this, but I used to go around at the time. God, it's kind of embarrassing, with a little tape recorder, because I'd be trying to interview people because I really wanted to be on the radio.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Look at you, and there you are.
25 years later, still here I am.
Yeah. I don't know if I do remember it.
Yeah, was a cassette.
Okay, that's brilliant.
Amazing.
So what did you do in between then, from when Bewitched split up and then got back? What were you both doing in the middle bit?
I have to cast my memory, because I was the obvious you would think was we had families, but we didn't. Lindsay and I did that when we got back together again.
Just to make life stressful. Yeah.
Yeah. I did some songwriting. I wrote a musical, did some music on my own, but never released it. Well, I actually went back to study while in the big reunion. So it sort of coincided with us getting back together. I studied counselling. Mm-hmm. I have a second career in counselling.
Very good.
And I was, I kind of stayed in music for a few years after it. And I actually got into a country band for a while. And then after that, I went and studied acting for 2 years. So I did a few acting sort of roles, and then the band got back together. So kind of went back into the music side of things again after that. But I like to kind of keep my toe in the acting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you always kind of feel that you would get back together again? Or was it something you kind of thought, I'm not going down that road again?
No, I never thought we would, funnily enough. I never thought we would. And even when it came up, you know, when ITV came to us and said, we're doing this documentary, I don't think any of us jumped at it. I don't think any of us were kind of like, yes, this is what we've been waiting for. I think we'd all kind of got to a place where we were starting to move on. Do you know what I mean? We're moving on with life and doing different things and finally kind of finding our place and finding our pockets. And I think this came up at a time where we were like, really? Now? we thought about it for a good while before we agreed to do it.
Gosh, I think it was eight months. I think they were asking us, re-asking us the question before they got four yeses. I think Sinead says she always thought we would do it again.
She's
just like, yeah, it'll happen. So I think maybe when the big reunion came knocking, I think she was, interestingly, she was the one who was more nervous on it and doing the whole process. But I think she was the first one to say yes.
Yeah. Because was there a fallout? I can't remember. Did you fall out with the others?
Not really. Like, Adele and Sinead just had, as you do, we were very, very young. Adele and Sinead were really close in the band. And then because of that closeness and then the ending of the band, it just sort of, the relationship just struggled for a bit. But now they're the best of friends again, which is great. But Lindsay and I lived in the same country. We stayed in London, so we were always seeing each other. So I wouldn't say there was a massive fallout, but we hadn't been together as a band for, gosh, was it about, I think it was maybe 9 years when we did the show. We hadn't been together for about 9 years.
That's much.
The four of us in a room. No. No.
The pair of you have English accents now. Do you know that?
Oh, stop it.
You do.
No, we don't sound English.
That's
so funny. Because everyone over here is like, oh, you Irish. It's like, so we obviously sound Irish over here.
Yeah. But you sound like diddly eye over there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what, Trina? When we first moved over here, no one understood us. And this is a long time ago. This is when we started in the band 26 years ago. And our manager said, you're going to have to slow down and talk a bit different, because literally the interviewers don't know what you're saying.
You're joking.
So I guess we're Englified over the years. We've slowed down and changed a few words so people actually were coherent.
Wow. And releasing new music and everything, I bet you never thought that was going to be on the cards either.
No, I suppose, I guess we didn't really, foresee that we would be together for this amount of time, even after the big reunion, you know, because we've been together much longer this time around than we ever were originally. Mm. So, but I suppose what naturally happens then is when you're together as a band for a certain amount of time, like organically, you want to keep creating because, you know, there's one side of it, which is we do the shows and we gig and we play the old songs and the hits that everybody wants to hear. But then there's the other side of it where we're actually naturally creative people. So to be in this job, we need to feel like we're creating and we're moving forwards and we're fresh for ourselves, you know, to keep it interesting for us, like, so naturally that was going to happen. But yeah, here we are still all this time later and we're still kind of, you know, every now and again we kind of get back in and do some new stuff. So yeah, it's good. It's great to be in this position, to be honest.
What's it like to be still recognised? I mean, when Bewitched first came out, it was probably not the nicest experience, maybe. I just know from looking at the Boyzone documentary that was just on there a couple of weeks ago. I only actually watched it there on Sunday night. And you kind of like really saw a different side to the music industry and how tough it is. And, you know, you kind of don't have a minute. You've no privacy. Was it very much full on at the start?
Sorry, I need to cough.
Yeah, cough away.
it was full on. As soon as sort of C'est La Vie hit number one, it was all systems go. Every territory wanted us. We were literally flying from one country to another. Our feet didn't touch the ground for years. And I just kind of, you know, kind of went into then the next single and then we do the territories again. And then we decided to try and break America. So it was months and months of touring over there as well and just being away. And it is very much like that. And I mean, if you've watched the Boyzone documentary, it just kind of consumes your life for the period of time that you're in it and that you're riding that wave. I think we were kind of lucky in a sense that we were never really tabloid fodder. Like we were never, the tabloids didn't give us a hard time.
It's because we didn't give them enough drama.
We didn't, to be honest, we didn't really have much to write about in terms of our personal lives or anything like that. We were very much just about the job and we loved what we did. And, you know, so any kind of press was kind of positive and, you know what I mean? So for the most part.
Well, you mustn't have had a manager was making up stories to get in the paper.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's say it how it is.
I know. It's difficult. Like back at the time when we were doing it, there was no laws and no duty of care to actually take care of these bands, as human beings. Mm-hmm. So we worked for hours and hours and hours. It would literally be 16, 17, 18 hours a day. And that went on for months and months without a day off. Mm-hmm. At one point we were doing our video shoots and they were 23 hours long, like literally no sleep in the middle. You'd be doing a 23 hour shoot and you can't do that now. There are laws in place that mean that the artists and the crew all have to take breaks every certain amount of hours, just like a normal business runs. Those laws are there now. But back then, you literally were just worked to the absolute bone and it was absolutely exhausting. But from the outside, it was all bells and whistles. And I think we spoke about some of our experience on the big reunion. It was a slog. Mm-hmm. It was a slog. But at the same time, everything that we went through and the music and how we did get out there and the success we've had means that we're still going on three arena like in a few weeks time from what we did 26 years ago. So there are positives and negatives, but there's probably positives and negatives to every job and every aspect of life if you really want to look at it.
Yeah, I'm sitting back here saying what a hard life I have. I have to press a button now in a minute to play a song. That's about it. Oh, it's tough going. So you guys are obviously still as fit as a fiddle. I mean, I'm having trouble tying my shoelaces now. God, I don't know how this happened.
It creeps up on the best of us.
So you're still leaping around the stage, as they say.
Yeah, I don't think we leap about as much as we used to. And certainly our new EP that we have out at the moment, we've written it, so we're not as energetic as we were.
How are the hips and how are the knees?
Touch wood, all good so far.
A bit creaky.
We used to wear high heels at some point, and I think all of us, bar Sinead, have given up on that. Yeah. We're like, no, not doing it anymore. I'm not wrecking the knees for the sake of a pair of heels.
It's not worth the bunions.
No, forget that. I have a serious high heel addiction, and you want to see my collection. Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I literally haven't worn, I haven't worn them in about 10 years. I don't know why I'm keeping them. I can't. I actually can't wear them. I think my feet have gotten fat as well.
Well, your feet change. Your feet change over the years. They've probably grown, to be fair. Like, they do kind of spread. So I don't know if you've had children or not, but I found after having children, my feet are a size bigger.
Go away. Really? How many have you got, Lindsay?
Hold the weight.
Two.
You've got two, and you've got three, Kiwi?
Yeah, I have twins who are four, and then Freya, who's seven. So Freya are four, Freya's seven.
I have a daughter who's seven as well.
Oh,
it's a lovely age. But twins, and you are a twin. Is that something that is expected?
No, it's the opposite. It's a relatively rare thing for twins to have twins. So when I found out at 12 weeks, and my 12 weeks gone, and I was like, what now?
Oh my God.
I absolutely love it. It's a boy and a girl, and I like that because they're immediately, people don't compare them. Edel and I are still compared at 46 years of age.
Like, I know, sure, come here. I introduced the interview by saying Kiwi and Edel are on the line. What's wrong with me?
Lindsay got wiped out immediately.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lindsay.
It's okay, I'm over it now.
Yeah, she is. Oh God. So you now know what your poor parents went through dealing with twins growing up. The sleepless nights.
I know. I mean, well, my mum and dad have six of us. So what were they? We would have been four and five. So I still don't know what they went through. And I think, how did you do four or five and then a sixth?
Yeah, the older ones were minding you probably.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, girls, it's been lovely catching up. We will see you there at the Three Arena on the 16th of March. Do you know what's great? It is a Sunday night. It's a bank holiday the next day as well.
No,
most people will be off work.
Paddy's weekend is going to be brilliant.
Yeah,
it is. And it's a good lineup as well. It's quite a lot of other 90s acts on there as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good night.
Alice DJ, Entrance, Snap, Cascada, Mark McCabe, absolutely loads there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there, and but I can't guarantee that I'll be able to stay awake past 11 o'clock. So
neither will we. Before then, too.
We won't be awake past 11 o'clock.
So it's rock and roll, isn't it? All right, girls, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye.
It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.